Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we just finished the book of Joshua, and now we're going into the book of Judges. And first of all, we have the introduction to Judges, and so we will not get to the first chapter today, but it's very important for you to have an overview or a bottom line picture, the big picture of the book of Judges, so that when we start reading the chapters, you'll be able to understand better what I'm talking about. And before we do this, though, I want to read some scriptures. I want Sharon to read some scriptures here that I've taken out of the Bible. So regarding women. Now, yesterday I was talking about how that women are, God likens women, or the moon is like symbolic of women, and the sun is symbolic of godly men, because it's the same every day. And this is one of the commandments of the Lord, is that a man is like stable, steady, in order to rule well. He has to rule well his children, his household. He has to be vigilant and diligent every day. He must be lover of the Bible, the good works, and all the other different things that the Bible tells what a godly man should be. Now, so the moon changes. It's like almost a full moon. It goes into a little sliver of a moon, a white moon during the day. Sometimes you'll see it white, sometimes it's quarter, three quarters, one-fourth, all different ways. You can never figure out exactly unless you study the actual what each moon is going to be and what days, because we can premeditate, we can pretell what the moon is going to do and what it's going to be because of the explicit order of things that God has commanded the moon, the sun, the stars, and the earth to do. And so the moon also controls the tide. But the sun is always the same every day. You say, well, it doesn't shine every day. If it does shine every day, but there may be clouds preventing the sun rays to come through. But the sun is still strong. You never see a half sun or one-fourth sun or a quarter sun or anything like that. And here are some things that the Apostle Paul had written in regard to women. All right? Let's read that.
1 Timothy 2:11. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. Verse 12. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Verse 13, for it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve.
All right, see, this was predetermined at the Garden of Eden after Eve had sinned and then was the first satanic evangelist. She went to her husband and convinced him to go ahead and eat. So she's not to be entrusted with the words of truth at all, because women are so easily swayed and conned. If somebody even some man flatters them for even a second, they just go off at pieces and they never forget it. It's just like they've got very strange attitudes. Somebody can give them a fleeting glance, as Johnny Mathis said in his song, "One fleeting glance can say so many lovely things." And, oh, they just treasure a smile, or they think that somebody is just... they're so easily conned, and that they're not stable enough to, or steady enough to run a church of God, or to stay on sound doctrine, or to do what the Lord says. So the Bible says in order to be godly, we must control, we have to have self-control, to control ourselves to be holy and godly and perfect, because that doesn't happen without our exerting the and making ourselves do what the Bible says. So holiness comes about by our governing ourselves. We have to govern the things we say. We have to govern the things we do. Our tongue is like a rudder. It causes, it sets forth a fire all over. Or we can kill with the tongue, or we can bring forth life with the tongue. And so we have to control it, and we have to be filled with the Spirit in order to do that. We have to make sure that we are filled with the Spirit. That's the way that we are able to control ourselves, is to be filled with the Spirit so that we can control what we say and do. All right? And women are too unstable, according to God. Now, of course, there's so many presumptuous women that, and there's a lot of presumptuous men, too. I'm not saying that there aren't. But I'm most of them are, but godly men is what we're talking about here. And even when a woman becomes a servant of the Lord, she still really has to watch out with all of her heart and soul and mind and strength. Otherwise, she's going to fall into perdition. She has to be very careful, because she's the weaker of the godly vessel. She has to be under total submission to the Spirit and to your husband, and to learn only from her husband. You always see, a lot of times you'll see women looking for advice from other. They are not strong enough. Like if their husband falls away from the Lord, they will leave the church with them. They're just weak. Whereas once in a while you find a woman, it doesn't make any difference if her husband leaves the Lord or not, she will stay in the Lord, she'll stay in the church, but that's only if she's really devoted, dedicated, and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and she controls herself. Self-control is the way to godliness. All right, and so read the rest, please.
Verse 14, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Verse 15, but women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in the faith and love the sanctity with self-restraint or self-control.
Self-control is the way for men and the way for women to be godly. There's no other way. Okay, is that all I have written? Okay, now I want to go in briefly to the book of Revelation, and we're speaking, the Lord's speaking here to the church of Thyatira. Okay, go ahead. Revelations, what, 2?
Mm-hmm.
2 what? 2:18.
Yeah. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write.
This is Jesus telling John, the Revelator, and John, the one who wrote the book of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. The Lord gave all these books to him. Okay, and so Jesus said again to John,
and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the God, the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire.
So God's eyes, the Son of God's eyes, are like a flame of fire. In other words, it just burns anything away that is ungodly. He's so really disciplined, self-disciplined, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can force myself to go down to the restaurant now. I can force myself to stay in my room. I can force myself to go get a drink of water or a cup of coffee, or I can force myself to do whatever I will. But when I see what the will of the Father is, then I discipline, I make myself. I have to make myself. I don't depend on the Lord just moving me around like a robot, because he never made me to be a robot. He made me to be a free moral agent, and to see what he wills that I do, and he wants to see that I discipline myself to do it. It's impossible for me to serve the Lord unless I discipline myself to be disciplined by his word, which is spirit and life. All right? That's the way it really is. If you hear this message and you walk away and say, well, praise the Lord, and then you just start doing whatever, be tossed about by every wind of doctrine or every one of your emotions or every one of your desires, well, then you're not disciplining yourself to do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Okay, so keep reading.
And his feet are like fine brass.
That means brass is very strong, but fine brass is rare. Spiritually, he's like spiritually unmovable. You cannot move his feet or his ways to any other way than what is written in the Word of God. And this is the way we know one thing, is that we must be like him in this world. We must be immovable. We cannot change temperaments every day. We must, if a woman can't think of, she knows that she's movable, she has to ask her husband if she's feeling some weird way of how to be today. And that's just the way it is. I know this is this ungodly, satanic, antichrist, women's lib movement, but to hell with that, and to heaven with those that want to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
To hell with what women think. Let's go by what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen?
To hell with what women want, or what they think, or what man wants, or what man thinks. Let's go by what God thinks and what he wants. Amen? Otherwise, you or I will never make it into the kingdom of God. All right? You must discipline yourself to do what the Lord says and commands, or it's impossible for God to love you or want you in his heaven. Okay, then what?
Verse 19. I know thy works and charity.
Okay, so I know that you've done works, and I know that you have love. You love to do the work, too. You love to do my work. Then what?
And service.
And I know you serve me with all your heart, soul, and mind, with rigor. You've disciplined yourself to do all these things. Then what?
And faith.
You have faith to do everything I say, except one thing. Then what?
And thy patience.
And you patiently have been thrown in jails for my sake. You've been stoned for my sake. You just keep going. You've got tenacity, stick-to-itiveness. You've been to prison, and you still kept to preaching the gospel while you were there. Then what?
And thy works.
And your works are unparalleled. I mean, when somebody's hungry, you feed them. When somebody's naked, you clothe them. When somebody's in prison, you send finances to them, and you have people visit them, and you send people to the rest homes and to orphanages and anywhere that you see that the Spirit wants you to do something, you do it. Then what?
And the last to be more than the first.
And the works that you do have done all your Christian life, you're doing more now than you did when you first were saved, a lot more. Here you were full of zeal when you were saved, but now you've got more zeal. You didn't get lax in zeal like so many have done and have fallen away, but you just keep going stronger and stronger. You have grown in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've matured, and now you're really on fire for God. And then what?
20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee.
Well, I mean, I'm doing all these things, Lord, and you still have a few things against me? My God, what am I doing wrong? Okay, then what?
Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel.
Okay, now woman is always, the church is God, the Lord's bride. And so there's another woman that is the false, the bride of the Antichrist, the devil. And this woman, Jezebel. So Jezebel is the one that killed the prophets. And so this church is a false church. She calls herself a prophetess, but she's not. And what church? Who is some church that says there are a church there? They say she says she's a prophet, that would actually kill the prophets. The only one that we can think of and has ever historically been known to do so and is still doing it today is the Vatican, the Catholic, Roman Catholic cult. Okay? Okay, now, read that. I have somewhat against you because what?
Thou sufferest that woman.
Yet you let, you can let this stinking church or false church, Jezebel, this Antichrist church, do what?
Which calls...
Who calls herself a prophetess, who calls herself that she's a someone of the Lord, and she's so false, so full of false doctrine and idols and every wicked thing on the face of the church of the mafia, the church of the devil. Then when you let her to teach what?
To teach and to seduce my servant.
To teach her false doctrine throughout the world and seduce the people that are of the Lord. You are doing all these good things, but you let this Jezebel open her rotten, stinking mouth and teach my servants to commit fornication, which means the same rotten crimes that she commits along with her. Go ahead, read it.
To seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols.
And to do things that are idolatrous. I mean, to love the world. Like there's Bibles written now that there's saying that the doctrine in the Bible that Paul preaches is false. That we should abstain from the world, that the world is evil. But Jesus and all the prophets and everyone said to separate yourself from the world. Love not the world. It's not only Paul. It's God's word through and through. And so you've got these Catholic Bibles and people that are prone to follow Catholicism. And the ones of us that are out there telling about this demonic, evil, false Jezebel church, cult, we are being the character assassinated like you can't believe. They actually have set up websites that just say every kind of foul, evil lie about me and anyone else that is not letting her tell these things, that are coming out and exposing her to the general public, so that the general public and the servants of the Lord will not fall into her fornication, her false doctrine, and her false ways. Now, the flesh really loves to sin, and unless we, and this organization is saying that it's all right to sin, that God is just going to forgive sin, and there's so much of that teaching today that the whole world has been deceived by it, and it's because there's not, I don't know of anyone that is in a sensible way coming out against this Jezebel, this false prophet, this one that calls herself a prophetess. God doesn't call her a prophetess. He calls her an antichrist. Now, we have four horses of the apocalypse. I believe it's in chapter 6 of Revelation. The first one is a white horse, and this has to do with world conditions, because the second, the third, and the fourth horse, the second one is red horse. It's like bloodshed all over the world. The third horse is famine all over the world. It's the black horse that's holding a scale in its hand, measuring out food because food is so scarce. And then the fourth horse is like pale. So all these three horses are world condition. And so therefore the first horse is also a world condition. It's like this false Christ. Now, many people for years have thought that the white horse was, and the rider was Jesus Christ. But it's not. It's the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist world condition. It's the corporate body of Antichrist. It's like the 666. The entire world of ungodly people that have been seduced by Jezebel, the false prophetess, this one that calls herself a prophet, and so many people believe it. Like Jesus said, I came into the world and the world did not receive me. But there's another one that speaks of himself, and him they receive. This is the Antichrist movement. It's not just one man, it's a corporate body of men that have formed the Antichrist system. And it's the bloodshed. It's actually the bloodshed all over the world. This is talking about, these four horsemen are talking of world conditions. Number one, the white horse is like dominion, and also the bow in his hand is like a dominion and power over everyone. So Satan is like deceive people into obeying him. And the ones who are not obeying him are the ones that are being persecuted by the entire Antichrist movement. They make you look more evil than Hitler. They make you look more evil than Hitler, Mussolini, all the different evil men on the Stalin, Ho Chi Minh, all the false evil people that ever lived on Earth. They make the Christian look more evil than them because we come out against Satan. And of course, what else can Satan do but lie? We come out with the truth about the Antichrist movement and the bloodshed in the world, the famine in the world, and it's going to get worse, and death in the world. The conditions today, people think that's bad. But this Antichrist that's ruling this world is going to cause the conditions to be worse than this is going to seem today, like a Sunday school picnic in comparison to what's coming up very shortly. And then the wrath of God is going to come. And these false people are saying that we're going to be raptured out of the tribulation period of time, which is a time of trouble that this world has never seen before. But we will be here in the tribulations. And women, you know, they get very impatient when you talk about this because they're so damnably ungodly. They start scratching themselves and everything as though this were something to be fooled with. And it's not. You say, well, it just keeps harping on. Why do I do that? The Bible says so in these very last days, that people's ears would be stuffed with the devil and that their hearts would be hardened and the love to do the Lord's will would wax cold. There wouldn't be hardly any charity. People are lovers of their own selves. This is the world Antichrist movement. Even people, the churches, they're just filled with a bunch of people that are no more concerned about anything except their flesh. And this is the reason that I've come out with so much literature in regard to that. And this is why the Lord is saying these things about people that have done great works for God. They've had zeal for God. They've done everything for God. Their works are even more than before. They're out there winning souls. But they would never speak one word against Antichrist. Or they get very nervous when you start talking about the Antichrist movement, about this white horse that imitates, that presumes itself to be like God, and actually even says it is God, and deceives the world because it dresses itself as most people think God dresses itself, that has beautiful choir music and better, more music and better music than anybody else. But, I mean, it doesn't have better music than the Kingdom of Heaven. And, you know, you never saw Jesus running around with a big choir and full orchestra or anything like that. And so, we have some more here in that regard. Now, we're going to see what the Lord is going to do to these people that are just wonderfully blessed by the Lord and doing a great job for him, but will not blow the whistle on Jezebel like Tony Alamo does. You just think that Tony Alamo is so evil because he doesn't speak nicely of Jezebel, because he just lets her just seduce the world with her sinfulness, and just to make it look like she's good and I'm evil for speaking out against her, like the Bible says, like God's holy, undefiled, unchangeable word tells me to. Now go ahead and read.
Verse 21, and I gave her space to repent.
And I give this Jezebel space to repent, and I'm giving you space to repent. Now you better get out and start revealing this thing, this monster, or else something's going to happen to you. Okay, then what?
I gave her space to repent of her fornication.
Because people, you know, the Lord gives you space to repent. Because you're letting her teach her false doctrine, which is in his the Lord's mind, fornication. Because it's a sin unto death. Fornication, which they let the children in school do, Catholic school, and they let their priest molest little boys, and you know, this is all because a good excuse for that is because they're celibate and they need somebody to love, and of course nobody thinks evil of them because they're priests, because they are, their brains are the brains of fornicators. Anyone that's a fornicator, they love Clinton, they love Schwarzenegger, anyone that's like, you know, big time evil seems to be the ones they want to be in charge over them. But the Bible says that no one is to be in charge of anybody other than the authority of God on earth, and that is ministers like myself. I'm really in charge, and you're not receiving my message from the Lord. And so you're in trouble. Not me. Now, you may be upset with me and cause me to be put to death. Well, that is neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned, because if I'm put to death, you do me service. I'll be right in the Kingdom of Heaven. You say, well, that's all right, we'll be rid of you. But you won't be rid of the Lord's doctrine. There'll always be somebody here, the Bible says, to let you know that you're going to hell and to the lake of fire. And you know what you're doing wrong, and you know that these people are wrong, but you love to have evil over you. You love to receive the fornication of all the filth and corruption that this wicked Jezebel, false prophet, calling herself a prophet, is dispensing into the world. Don't believe the Bible. Don't read the Bible. Don't do any of these. Don't do anything godly. Stay away from saying anything bad against evil people, because evil people will hurt you, and you better be afraid. But that's the Bible says. Jesus says the fearful and unbelieving, the ones that will not speak out against Jezebel, will spend eternity in the lake of fire, and their smoke ascendeth up forever. So you're in trouble, the Lord says, to the church of Thyatira, who does everything perfectly, with the exception of she does not, this church of the Lord does not speak out. She allows this vile satanic church to get by with all of her filthy evil deeds. And even the Lord has preached to this evil, wicked, false prophet church, cult, and has given her space to repent. but she hasn't. And so if there's so few people of the Lord that will go out and say anything to it. We don't hate the people in there. We hate their doctrine, and we hate it so much that we tell them to repent and become Christians. Otherwise, the Lord is going to tell you here in just a second what he's going to do with them. Okay, go ahead.
And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Verse 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her.
Okay. She's going to go into it. She's going to be not only pushed into a bed, but thrown into a bed of affliction or pestilence. She's going to be extremely, God's going to whip her with sickness, all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, and those that commit fornication with her and that allow her to commit fornication and teach his children, the people of this world. Everyone in this world was created by God, and you weasels who think you're doing so good for the Lord, still, you just don't want to be persecuted, so you don't say anything about this Jezebel, which the Lord is upset with you because you're suffering, you're allowing it to get by with these things. In other words, you have an obligation if you're a Christian. You have a duty to pull the sheets and blankets off of this miserable whore of a Jezebel who kills prophets, who maligns prophets, who loves to assassinate people's characters, character assassination, to make a person that's good and loved by the Lord look evil in this world because we reveal this cancerous, filthy, putrefying sore, wicked, demonic, satanic cult. And then she's going around with her website saying that we're a cult. Why are we a cult? We've never killed and murdered people, burned people at the stake, thrown them to the lions like you. The Lord calls you fatherless children, which Webster's Dictionary calls bastards, that you bastards do. We've never done anything like that. We've never put in false websites or lied about you. We've told the exact truth about you. The only weapon you have to fire back with us with is fallacy. The Lord calls the devil a liar and a thief and a murderer. That's what you are. You are a liar, a thief, and a murderer. You're of your father, the devil, who is a liar, a thief, and a murderer. You are evil and wicked to your core. And we call every Catholic out of there, of that wicked place, to become born-again Christians. And if you insist on remaining in there, God's going to throw you and yours in a bed of affliction, and you're not going to like it. He's going to give you every evil disease there is on the face of this earth. And I see many of you going down with cancer and tuberculosis and AIDS and leukemia and other diseases that people don't like, heart trouble, and a lot of other diseases that people don't like. Now you say, well, if I had some kind of a disease, it's about that time in my life to have something like that, because the Bible says that if, you know, the average person's life is 70 years, that's 70. I'm past 70 years old, so I'm living on borrowed time. Okay, so I've been blessed. I've lived a full, good life. And I have, and I'm in good health. As for a 70-year-old person, you know, I don't look at even 70 years old. I look, you know, very young in comparison to others, and I'm full of strength. And I'm still preaching the gospel. And so those of you, though, I mean, you in your teens and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, you are far from perfect, and you're far from the kind of strength that I have. I have spiritual power and strength, and so does everyone that will come out against, that will keep all the commandments of the Lord and throw a light on this, your rotten wickedness. So even if I died today, I've lived what the Lord says was an average life. I mean, the average lifespan is 70. And if they have added strength, maybe another 10 years or 20 years or 30 or 40 years. And the Lord told me I have 40 years if I do what he tells me. If I eat well, I mean, not what I like to taste, but if I eat for my health and if I work out with weights and do some aerobics. So I'm far ahead of you. Some of you will never live to be 40 years old. And so, because I believe in exposing the Antichrist white horse, its false white horse, this world Antichrist condition. And the Bible here says that some of you churches that are just doing all a lot of good things, but you are not. And so I'm not hating you any more than the Lord is, he's saying, but he's threatening you. And the Lord does threaten, and don't let anyone tell you that he doesn't. He says, if you don't repent, I'll throw you in a bed. Okay, and what else?
I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation.
Great tribulations. Well, does that mean that we Christians are going to be here while they're going through the great tribulations? Huh? Why, that doesn't have anything to do with me. You're going through the tribulations, honey. Okay? That's who's going through it. If you don't get busy and start throwing some light on this adulterous, fornicating cult, and if you don't stand up for people that are doing it, the ones that, you see, there's not one Christian organization, Harley, that I know of that is standing up for us, that are siding in with us. And if we're the Church of God, if you are the Church of God, well, then why are you not sticking up for your brothers and sisters and helping your brothers and sisters? A lot of brothers and sisters over here that believe as I do, as the Bible, as the Lord tells us to believe. We believe the way the Lord tells us to believe. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're of the Lord, how come you're bringing false accusations against us just like Antichrist does? If you're not Antichrist, then why are you doing what Antichrist does? How about that? You are Antichrist. That's why you're doing it. And you are... You call yourself cult awareness, that you're going to make everybody aware of us? No. I'm making people aware of you. Anyone that calls themselves a cult awareness organization, you're the Antichrist, because God doesn't have any little police force on earth that exposes true Christians or anything like that. You're supposed to be exposing the Vatican. How come you are exposing the one that's fighting the Antichrist? Why are you not exposing the Antichrist? That right there tells us all what you are. You are a member of the body, the corporate worldwide body of the Antichrist, that false white horse, the world condition of Antichrist, bloodshed, famine, and death. That's who you are. Death, not only death, but death and hell. The pale horse is death and hell and the lake of fire. That's who you are. Okay, and what else does the Lord say about this? This is the Lord speaking.
Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds.
Yeah, so the Lord says, I'm going to do that, but if you'll get out of there, and if you stop suffering her to seduce my spirits with her false, my servants with her false doctrine, in causing the whole world to commit fornication along with her, well, then if you repent, I'll forgive you and just don't get involved again and start exposing this wretched thing. Now, we have a list of hundreds and hundreds of Catholic priests and nuns that have come out of that wicked Jezebel organization and have exposed it. They are very good. These former Catholics are some of the greatest saints that ever lived because they came out and blew the whistle on Satan and his cult. Okay, then what?
Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death.
Oh, so here's the Lord says, if you don't repent, I'll kill you with death. And that he's talking about everlasting death. Death that, well, you'll never really die, but you're just constantly dying in hell, and you'll be laboring in hell without ceasing in the flame of the lake of fire, because you're Antichrist, against Christ and his children. If you that are with the cult awareness network, you standing up for the Vatican, that means you're Antichrist and coming against the true Church of the Lord, those of us that are exposing the Antichrist Church and cult, you're part of this movement and you're going to be in hell in the lake of fire. I want you to know that. And that's why the Bible says that we who are the witnesses of the Lord are going to be hated so much is because we torment you with the truth that you're definitely going to hell in the lake of fire unless you repent. So we're not totally condemning you at all, but you're condemned if you do not. If you see, like a house is condemned. The Lord is putting a sign on you. This house is condemned. And we're to be houses where the Lord lives, not where false doctrine and the Antichrist doctrine lives. Amen? So the Lord is supposed to live in us. The Word. But you're not the Word. You're anti the Word of God. The Word of God is Christ. And so you're Antichrist and anti-Christian. Anyone that really brings the true Word of God and exposes you, you satanic bastard, the Lord calls you. Bastard, the fatherless child. And you're as bad, as evil as they get. Okay, then what?
And all the churches shall know that I am he.
Now read the verse before that again. This really needs to sink in.
Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation.
Great. When God says great tribulation. Bastards, you think you're going to be raptured out of great tribulation? Read here, bastards. That doesn't mean the Christians are going to be go through great tribulation. We'll be here during the tribulation period, because just like the people of Israel, there was great tribulations in Egypt, but God brought them, amen, and he's the one going to bring them here. The wrath of God is going to come down, but it's not going to touch his children. It touched all of Egypt, and remember, the children of Egypt were there. The children of Israel were there in Egypt, but they didn't get hurt, did they?
No.
No, but did the Egyptians get hurt?
Yes.
Yes. So they went through great tribulations. To them, that was pretty great tribulations. When their firstborn was destroyed, killed all at once in one night. You goofball. What do you want? Then when Lot was delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his two daughters, then great tribulation came down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. They were all wiped out. Amen? And the people of Jericho, that was great tribulations. Every one of them, with the exception of the harlot and her family. Then you take Ananias and Sapphira. All these people are brand new Christians, and they were loving and praising the Lord. But God went right in there with his spirit and dropped Ananias dead, and then Sapphira dead, right in their tracks, out of the whole bunch. The Lord's spirit is so precise. It's like even sharper than an instrument that operates on people. An instrument that could do cosmetic surgery, that's so sharp that it's just the touch of the blade of the knife just opens the skin in such a clean, clean cut manner that you can't even believe it. And so the Lord knows how to just slide in there and get whoever he wants. Amen? He also gave great tribulation to a batch of Hebrews that wanted to come against, that came against Moses and the operation of God, and he opened the earth and swallowed them all in, but the people of Israel never, and Moses never went into the, there was great tribulations all the time, and great tribulations are going to be here, and we're going to go through the great tribulations, those of us who will expose the Antichrist and this wicked church Jezebel, and will not allow her with her false doctrine to seduce the Lord's servants and cause them to commit the same filthy, rotten sins and works that she's causing the whole world to do. Now the whole world has gone astray because no one's out there. They're scared to death because they're afraid. Oh, well, they now these Catholics, these Roman Catholics, Vatican has burned people at the stake. Now, you better not do that because they'll throw you in prison. They'll trump up false charges on you. They'll railroad you. They railroaded you, Tony. Now, they railroaded you once, and they'll railroad you again if you don't stop it. Well, my goodness, you know, I'd rather be railroaded than go to hell, okay? And the lake of fire. And so this is why I do it. And they say, well, you're crazy. You knew it was coming. Well, yeah, the Lord said that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution and shall be hated by all people. If they hated me, Jesus, they're going to hate you too, because you don't go along with the world system. You separate yourself. Right now, this Antichrist movement is telling all religions to merge together. This is the most disastrous and evil, wicked doctrine. This is fornication that will send your soul to hell in a handbasket, will send your soul to hell in a fury. God is furious with people who believe this. Okay, go ahead, finish it up.
Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. 23.
That's a threat. That's Jesus threatening people. Amen?
Amen.
And they're saying, you're telling people that Jesus threatens people and that he will send people to hell if they don't come up against the Vatican. I'm just telling you what Jesus is saying here. Amen?
Yeah.
And you better believe it rather than this Antichrist world doctrine that's all over the world now. It's just people are immersed in it. And the Lord tells us to separate ourselves out of that. Stay out of there. Because, you know, the Lord knows that the sheep are stupid, and he says they're the dumbest animal going, and they don't fear death, or they don't fear anything. I've seen sheep slaughtered before. We hung it up by its feet and cut, and it didn't even scream or yell like a goat does, and it just lays this very calm, and then you split it open like that, and you can just see the lungs in there just breathing back and forth, very calm, no excitement whatsoever, and it just, then it breathes its last breath and goes on. It's like the most peaceable death I've ever seen is the death of a lamb or a sheep. If you ever see that, you'll marvel at it, I'm sure. But you see a goat that thing knows it's going to be killed, it'll crawl the fence, it'll try to get away, it starts screaming and bleating and like you can't believe. And that's the way it's going to be for people that are going to hell. They're going to be screaming their heads off because they never disciplined themselves and made themselves be disciplined according to God's word. Now, this is God's word, and discipline yourself to do it, or else don't be screaming or angry at God when the axe falls on you and you're in hell in the lake of fire, because he warned you plainly in his word. And you can see that everything that his word says has come to pass, and therefore that shall also come to pass as well. Okay, then what?
Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your
works. Yeah, just like the Lord says, he's going to test people. He's going to try people. He's going to see what you're made of. He's testing you to see if you're going to do this. And he knows you got a stubborn spirit and that you love your stinky flesh more than you do him. Or he knows that you love him more than your stinky flesh, your rotting, vile body, as Paul calls it. Now, everybody's dying by the second, and you're going to die soon. There isn't anybody in the congregation that doesn't have some kind of impediment. You got bad eyes, something's wrong with you, bad breath, worse than that, ingrown toenails, you got something wrong, and if you don't know it, there's something wrong in your body for sure. Death is taking place in your body this very minute as we sit here. Some of you will die young, and some of you will be around maybe for a while if you serve the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden.
But you know the doctrines of Satan. If you listen to this tape, you know, in my tapes, you know the depths of Satan. Because I taught you. And I'm telling you in the Bible where the Bible teaches you. Okay, then what?
Verse 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come.
Yeah, if you know these words, hold it fast. Don't deviate from it. Just keep going. Then what?
Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
Okay, power over the nations. Well, what does that mean? I'll give you power over the United Nations, the one world satanic government. Isn't that it? What does that mean, power? They will not be able to destroy you. Now you say, well, if they kill you, they just, no, they have not destroyed my soul. This body is not the real me. That which is in me cannot be destroyed by the United Nations, by the United Council of cults, or what they call churches. By the me, the real me, cannot be destroyed. You cannot destroy me. You can, grind me up for hamburger meat. But that, and I wouldn't suggest that because I'm pretty wiry and I'm more like bull meat, okay? Like gristle. You don't want to eat gristle sandwiches, do you? Okay, so don't, you can't destroy me. The real me. So long as I hang in there and keep the faith is what it's saying. Amen? Read that again, that part.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
Well, my works, what's that? His work is for you to expose the Antichrist. That's what his work is. And to preach him and to pull down these strongholds. Pull them down. Put them under. By the word of God, this is how we do it. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. They have a sword, but the sword we wield is stronger than theirs. All they can do is lie. Now watch them open up even more websites saying, you know, that Tony Alamo is horrible. He did this. He abused his children. I love children. I've never abused a child in my life. Okay? And that I've got 1,000 or 100 wives or whatever. Or that you've got, you know, teenage brides or, you know, underage brides. I mean, you know, go ahead, say it all. Say it all. Say it all. But I'm still saved, all right? And no matter what you say, you're just causing people to go to hell by the thousands, I guess you believe, because if they believe you, then, and they don't believe the people of the Lord, well, then you don't deserve to be in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, was that it now? Keep going.
Verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father.
Okay, the rod of iron is the Word of God. I mean, you have to rule. You have to. Doesn't make any difference what they say about you. You have to rule the nations, United Nations, by telling them. You have to tell them what's right. Why? Because to them you look weak, and you're then making them think that their doctrine is true and that the doctrine of the Lord is weak. And so by you acting like a Casper Mattoist or a faggot. Like a limp-wristed female-type man or homosexual or a lesbian. You're like the weak, beggarly things of this earth, which the Lord will not allow in the kingdom of heaven. And you're making them think that they're more powerful than you, who are with the Spirit of God in you. Now, the Lord came into this world incarnate, and he is in the world now in human bodies, incarnate. Okay, so the Lord in me is, I am the Lord incarnate. He is inside my flesh, inside my spirit. And my spirit is inside this human body. And he's supposed to be incarnate in you. And either you're going to let people know it, or you are going to just lie down and act like a woman that wants to be had. That just, oh, I just can't do anything. You know, you just have to, you can just rape me if you want to, because I have no power. Or even a woman, a little woman, if she's got power of God in her, she would defy anybody that would try to rape her. She would stand in her face like Susie Alamo would and come down at him and called. I stood there and watched her to just totally destroy Lionel Fields, who is the West Hollywood sheriff. When he came over, she called him every kind of, she said, you two-bit, filthy, rotten. And I thought he was going to haul off. And she said, you rose hair oil, Jim Clinton suit, Tom McCann shoe, cheap, two-bit, filthy, demonic, rotten. And she was just going and going like that. And I had my fist doubled up. I was just a baby Christian at the time, and I knew that he was going to swat her. And if he did, I was going to, if I saw him even raising his hand, I was going to, you know, knuckle bump his head for him. And there were all kinds of, like, sheriffs around with guns and everything in front of the Crescent Heights Church. And this dude just stood there and took everything from her. And it's for sure, if a woman is like that, there ain't no man going to want to rape them, okay? No, that takes this urge of sex totally away. But most women, they act so, oh, I'm just so helpless, and oh, whatever you want, you can have, because they're so overwhelmed by their womanish, sexual, satanic desires, and they're filled with this false doctrine that women are weak. But the Bible says they are weak, but they're not weak if Christ is in them. Amen? The Bible says there's no male or there's no female in the body of Christ. And so if you're really of the Lord, you won't let anybody do anything like that to you. You won't let anybody seduce you with their eyes, or you won't be seducing anyone with your eyes, or using body language, or walking in front of somebody and trying to entice them like the women in the world, or men, you won't be playing eyesies with women, or if you're sitting next to them, kneesies, or any of this kind of stuff. You're going to be not like a person that's going to hell in the lake of fire, but you're going to stand up and be counted for.